absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to Absolutely Intercultural, the podcast which looks at all things intercultural. My name's Anne Fox, and this is show number 74 and the first of 2009, coming to you from Denmark. This is a very diplomatic and chaotic show. Normally, we're right down at the individual level, but when you're talking with diplomats, they tend to have a more global view of matters, for example, about the election of the new American president.
And I think with President Obama, dialogue is going to be a main tool.
We'll also be talking about a very special postgraduate course with an international perspective. How many people would say this on finishing a course?
That to me is brilliant, and that to me would make me try and apply again and do another 3 years. Because really, no, it's the best thing I've ever done for myself is to go to the Chaos Pilots. And when you're done, you feel like you can do anything.
You can find links to all the topics we talk about on our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com, where you can also leave either text or audio comments. We'd love to hear from you, whether you have an idea for a future show, a criticism, or can add an anecdote to something we have already talked about. When I met the Nicaraguan ambassador to Denmark recently, he tended to bring almost every topic we talked about to a global level, even when I asked him what he missed most from Nicaragua. Mr. Ricardo Alvarado Nogueira was on a visit to Greno Technical School when one of my students, Rune, asked him about the environment. Perhaps not the first priority, you'd think, of a country which the ambassador himself referred to as developing. So let's find out what is absolutely essential.
For your question, what we are doing for the environment in Nicaragua. Well, first of all, let me tell you that Nicaragua, you know, is a developing country.
Yes.
We are a country with a population of 5.7 million people, more or less the same population that you have in Denmark, you know, more or less. And we are, as I said, a developing country, which means it's a lot of poverty in Nicaragua. Why is this poverty? Well, so many problems from the past. We have this civil war in Nicaragua in the 80s for almost 10 years. And, well, after a civil war, you get your economy, you know, it's destroyed by this conflict. And that's why it's a very poor economy now, and that's why we have this poverty, which is a big wonder in Nicaragua. So, and that's why, you know, we are getting support from Denmark, you know, and many countries which generously are helping us to get ahead, to move ahead. And we are very thankful to this country. You are very kind to Nicaragua. But the environment, we are trying to keep the environment there in Nicaragua. But one of the issues is the global warming. You know, this global warming, and you know, is a lot of discussion about global warming going on right now, but it's hitting especially developing countries. So we are already poor because of all the conflicts from the past, you know, and all the problems. But in addition to that, we have the global warming. And how this, you know, relates to the environment? Well, let me tell you this. We had this hurricane last year in September 2007. Okay. And in Nicaragua, in the Caribbean coast, which is one of the poorest areas in the country, so we have this natural reserve there. So beautiful, oh, it was. Let me tell you later on why it's not anymore. But this natural huge rainforest there. So it was this hurricane last year in September, 3 days and after this, you know, all these trees went down. So, in addition to the poverty that we had before, can you imagine now the situation? yes. more poverty, and the environment also damaged by this hurricane. But the government and people there and NGOs, everybody in Nicaragua are very aware about the importance of the environment. We are very aware about this the global warming issue, and we are trying to do the best possible to address these problems. You know, we are trying to keep our forest, but poverty is a big problem, you know. So, and this natural disaster with this global warming. So that is why we have to, what is the solution? Because I am telling you the problem. Well, let me tell you this. The solution is, in my opinion, you know, that we have to work together. And when I say work together, I mean work together, everybody in the world, you know, Denmark, the European Union, Latin America, China, India, Brazil, everybody. And that is why it's very important, this big meeting that you have next year in Copenhagen, this climate summit meeting, which is going to take place in November, December, several days in Copenhagen. So they are going to talk about the global warming issue, and they are going to see what to do, I mean, because it's this Kyoto Protocol ending. So it will be very important meeting, and that the outputs from this meeting are going to make a very important contribution in the future for the environment. And we are expecting the best possible output, something that is going to help everybody to keep the environment.
We'll be hearing more from the ambassador later. Maybe you remember a couple of months back when I spoke with Senior Müller about the charity she'd set up called 100% for the Children. The reason I contacted her was because I was intrigued by this dynamic one-woman effort. But when I spoke to her, I could see that one of the reasons for her clear vision and dynamism was a postgraduate course she'd taken to qualify her as a chaos pilot. The idea of the chaos pilots is to address the increasingly frenetic, information-rich and global pace of life, and is summed up in Senior's comment that, if I don't know, then I can find out. We have talked several times on this podcast about student experiences of foreign internships, but with the chaos pilots, the internship idea is somewhat different. Let's go absolutely chaotic.
I've heard of it before, and I've read a bit about it, but is it only to be found in Denmark, this qualification?
Actually not. When I started the education, it was only in Denmark.
Mm.
And the original school is in Aarhus, Denmark.
Yeah.
Since I finished, they've started up in Malmö, Sweden, mm. Oslo, Norway, and there is a school in Rotterdam, Holland as well.
Okay, so can you explain what it's all about?
Well, I think for every chaos pilot who is going to explain about the school, it would be a different explanation. Mm-hmm. And for every team graduating from the Chaos Pilots, they will have had different educations as well,
mm.
and even on the individual level, the education is different. For me, it's a creative business school. It's a school of creative and social business entrepreneurship. It's a international project management school. It's a very generalistic education. I studied in the university before, studied classical Arabic culture mm-hmm. and history. It's very specific on the subject, and you get to know a lot about one thing.
Mm-hmm.
In the Chaos Pilots, you basically get a little bit of knowledge on a lot of areas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much focused on process design, the process of a project,
mm.
and also project design and business design,
mm.
business concept design. And I think for every person going there, you have to find your own way through the education. And some people go in this direction, can be fashion, music, advertisement, or some people go, like I've done, very much in the non-profit oriented
mm.
and charity-based direction. And it's very different. And I think one of the things that's brilliant about the Chaos Pilots is that they have the ability to change their education every year for
mm-hmm.
all of the students. They keep getting better and better and better at what they do have as the core.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they... they really manage to stay on the beat on what's going on yeah. in the world. How do we need to educate our students right now mm. according to the global situation in business and creative project management?
Yeah.
And that to me is brilliant, and that to me would make me try and apply again and do another 3 years because
oh,
really no, it's the best thing I've ever done for myself is mm. to go to the Chaos Pilots.
Yeah.
And and when you're done, you feel like you can do anything because it is a school that has the philosophy that anything is possible, but also the fact that if I throw myself into a project where I maybe don't know so much about the area that mm. I'm in, what I don't know, I will find out, or I will find somebody who mm. knows about it. It's we're taught to use our networks a lot, and being a chaos pilot, there will always be someone in the area who's also a chaos pilot that can help you out, mm. even if you are in Black Africa or Argentina or Shanghai or wherever that could be.
Are there so many graduates already?
Yeah, well, it's so many. I guess we'll have about 500 now.
Yeah. Okay.
But we've had outposts. The Chaos Pilots have had outposts all over the world.
Mm.
Durban, South Africa, San Francisco, Shanghai, Hanoi, I think they're in right now. And just so many places.
So when you say outposts, these are places they go to for a while?
Yeah, in the team, which they're called, the teams. I was in team 9. We didn't have an outpost as such, but on the second year we had to go on a European internship, and on the third year we had to go out in a world internship.
Mm-hmm.
And other teams have had outposts on the second year and another outpost on the third year. And which means that they go out there as a team
mm-hmm.
and they get involved in different projects or one big project or however they find partners and
mm.
and people to collaborate with
yeah.
and that's how we end up having had outposts and because of that a lot of contacts and network all over the world.
Okay, and your colleagues on the course, were they mainly Danish or were they from different countries?
They were from different countries, and it is an international school, which is now also only being taught in English,
mm.
At least in Aarhus.
Mm.
When I was there, we were being taught in both English and Danish and Swedish and Norwegian,
mm.
and it was mainly Danish, Swedish and Norwegians that attended
mm.
and applied.
Mm.
But now people apply from all over the world. Africa, South America, all
yeah.
over the world. So
great.
It's amazing, yeah.
yeah.
I think it would be a good idea for me to track down some of these Chaos Pilots and find out more about their outposting experiences. So watch out for that. If you remember anything about the history of Nicaragua, you will know that its relationship with the USA has not been smooth, to say the least. But that didn't stop Rune, my technical college student, from probing Ricardo Nogueira about this sensitive area. Let's go absolutely diplomatic.
I have seen the American installation of the Obama. Watch one of the students that sat up all night and just watching it. And I think, what is your relation to the States, American States?
Well, the USA is a very important partner to Nicaragua, to Latin America.
Oh.
As Central American countries, you know, we are very close to the USA. We have a lot of Nicaraguan citizens in the USA and Central America, and so it's a very close relation in all the different levels, in all the different aspects, you know, not only culturally, but economically and politically. I mean, we wish all the best to President Obama and to the USA. And we are expecting a closer relation with President Obama and something that is going to be of benefits for everybody, for the USA, for Latin America, for the European Union, for everybody. So, but the most, this is my personal opinion, is a very important factor in here, I think, is dialogue. And I think with President Obama, dialogue is going to be a main tool, and it's going to be strengthened, you know. And so I think we are going to see a period of time in which President and the American administration and the Latin American countries and African countries and European, everybody, you know, are going to get together and going to deepen dialogue and to get consensus, because there are many important things, you know, to address, such as this global warming that we were mentioning before, but not only that, you know, the financial international crisis, the poverty issue, and so many other important things. And I think it's a we are confident that dialogue and consensus are going to be two important players in the coming years.
As I said at the beginning, the ambassador always tended to take the global perspective, so finally I asked him a question which I was sure would give an answer at the personal level. Let's find out what is absolutely missing when the ambassador is away from Nicaragua.
Can I just ask you a one-word question? When you're in Denmark or all your other postings, what is the one thing that you really miss from Nicaragua?
Well, that's a very good... You got me, you know, it's a very difficult question.
Okay. I thought it would be an easy one.
I think perhaps the weather, you know, it's a tropical weather. There'll be, but, you know, basically, frankly speaking, you know, we are in some way different, you know. So you compare Danish to the Nicaraguan people because you are blonde and blue eyes and green eyes, you know. But basically, you know, you are also very kind people and also Nicaragua. So I feel like if I am in Nicaragua, you know, but with the difference that the weather and of course, you know, we have a lot of poverty and you are, but these values, these human values that you have are the ones that also characterize Nicaraguan people. So the missing parts are, you know, geographical things, the weather, the you know, the, maybe the sometimes food and things like that, but these are not the fundamental aspects of I really feel that people are great everywhere, you know. Everywhere you have very nice people and you know, I feel like if I am in my country also, because this is a very, very friendly country, so once you have these very nice people around you and all these great values of peace and tolerance and all that, that makes you to feel at home.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so
much. That's a very diplomatic answer.
Thank you so much for your very kind question.
I think that by the end of our meeting, I'd begun to get an idea of the art of diplomacy. Or perhaps a good diplomat needs to be less culture-specific than his fellow countrymen. Well, that's it for this show. I hope you've enjoyed it. And remember that you can add comments and find links at our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. The next show will be coming to you from Laurent Borgmann in Germany on January 23rd. So long and stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.